If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, Sol, how's it going, mate? Not seen you for a bit.
Yeah, good. How about yourself, Dims?
Yeah, all right, man. This month has flown by, hasn't it?
Definitely. Not just this month, but the rest of the 3 months. We're already halfway through, think about it, roughly.
Yeah, but it's almost April in a couple of days, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, you're right there.
Something was going to happen in April. I can't remember. Something big.
I'm not sure.
Oh gosh, it's Ramadan. How could I forget?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that reminded me as well. Yeah, right. We need to prepare ourselves now.
We do indeed.
We've only got a couple of days.
I know. So let's talk Ramadan. See you in a sec. Hi, and welcome back, guys. So, Ramadan, what's it all about?
Yes, indeed. What's it all about?
Why don't you tell our listeners, Sol?
Bro, I'm not a scholar. Don't put this on me.
Bro, you're like a Sufi sahab to me. No. Your beard's longer than mine, so...
That doesn't count. Just because someone's got a beard, that doesn't count.
I know.
But yeah. Be a facade.
Some people do, don't they? Yeah, don't judge a man by his beard. Judging by his actions, right? Something like that.
Yes.
But yeah, so come on, Sol. You do know a bit. You know a bit more than me. Come on. Oh, we know equal, but either way, why don't you tell the guys listening what Ramadan's all about?
It's the 9th month of the Islamic calendar. And obviously it changes every year because the Islamic calendar is different to the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, we get all that. I mean... I understand what you're trying to do here, but I'm just like, what's it about? It's about fasting. Is that what it's about?
Technically, it's not just about fasting. It's the spiritual aspect, doing ibadah, which is
worshipping. Yeah.
The one and only.
Don't you find it strange that, and I've always found it strange, that Ramadan is, like you said, it's the one month in the year that we prescribe to fast as Muslims. So we should abstain from food for, you know, 30 days, not nights, just the days. And yet we make it all about food. Like, that's just mad.
I know where you're coming from. I think that's more culture than actual religion.
Yeah.
We as South Asian do end up making a lot of food.
I think Muslims do make a fuss about, I don't think it's, maybe it's, we do it more, you know, South Asian, Indian people, but I think Muslims around the world do tend to, it's almost like you're fasting all day, and if you've got the means, you want to treat yourself. Even people in developing countries, they just make it too much about food than it should be. But yeah, go on, you were saying it's about Quran, isn't it, really? There's a few people that don't even know this. They think it's just fast. That's the whole point of Ramadan, that they don't even know that this was the month that the Holy Quran was revealed.
Yes, that's correct. It was the month that the Quran was sent.
What, this month?
No, not this month. Ramadan.
Ramadan, yeah.
The month of Ramadan. Yes.
Yeah. So that's why we celebrate, or not celebrate, but that's why we
take part,
yeah, in Ramadan. That's why we fast,
not just fasting, but obviously ibadah, which means worship.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So we intensify our worship. You see, when you go to places of worship like mosques and whatnot, there's a bigger turnout than there is all year round.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for this is it's like rewards on sale. They say, I think, one good deed's worth 70 times more.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Can't recall, but yes.
Don't quote me, but it's around that. And same with sins, they intensified. So more, as a practicing Muslim, it's more beneficial for you to stay away from sins, do good deeds. Because good deeds are on sale, so you get more bang for your buck. So there's a lot of people that just start behaving themselves, which is a good thing.
Good deeds could vary. Charity, that's one aspect. That's why fasting technically is a form of charity, because you're refraining yourself from intake. And then this month, you're giving that up, giving a necessity up, because eating is a necessity. Mm. But when you do it excessively, it's bad for you. So this helps you. Or ponder or wonder about is like, do I need to eat as much, especially during Ramadan? So you end up thinking of the people who are less fortunate than yourself. So it's more of a, where they say hashtag blessed, it's more like hashtag grateful, because you have to be grateful for what you have. So think of what you have than what you have not.
Yeah. And you get a bet, you know, it's like, bang my head on a door, you know, you don't feel my pain. But the same thing happens to you, you sort of feel my pain. You're like, oh, that's what you went through. That's what you experienced. So in a strange way,
empathy.
We get to experience what it's like to actually go without food and drink. But people like us in the West especially, you know, we're blessed and we know that when it's time to open,
grateful.
We can feast.
Hashtag grateful.
Let's change that now. Yeah,
we
can say the hashtag over now. But yeah, you should promote hashtag no such nonsense, because that's our hashtag, Sol. But anyway.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, back to what we're saying. It gives you more empathy and compassion for the people that can't eat and drink what they want. Like, we go through it for several hours and we know how difficult it is, how it makes you feel inside, and how grateful you are once you do finally open your fast. That water, that first, because you tend to open it with dates, don't you? The first date or piece of fruit or what you eat, it's like
something sweet.
Yeah,
they say, but preferably dates.
But you value it more. It's like the best ever. It's like the hashtag best ever, right? That you've tasted in your life, and it's just a normal date, normal glass of water. But because you've been deprived of it, now
you appreciate it.
Exactly, you appreciate it a lot more.
So that's why. Hashtag grateful.
So I told you, stop promoting other people's hashtags. Hashtag no such nonsense.
Okay. Dims, did you know that fasting, there are many health benefits as well?
Yeah, yeah. I know there's quite a few, actually. I know that sports personalities tend to fast. They do intermittent fasting because it's so good for your body. A few that I know of is it promotes better health for fighting inflammation in your body. So your muscles, joints. It can boost your brain function.
Mental health, yep. I was going to mention that.
Yeah. Weight loss, because obviously you're limiting your calorie intake. So it boosts your metabolism. And obviously that will help you to lose weight.
Not always, bro. You know what it's like with us South Asian.
If, yeah, when it opens, if you're going to chow down with samosas and pakoras and all that oily stuff, then yeah, you're kind of undoing, you know, the work you did during the day. So basically, if you think of your body as a vehicle or as an engine, and it's just always, you're always eating, you're snacking, your pancreas and your intestines and all that stuff in there is always working throughout the day. With fasting, you give all that stuff a break. It gets to reset and just cleanse itself. So it's quite amazing. And this one I didn't know, but it can increase effectiveness of chemotherapy.
Well,
and
I didn't.
That was on Google, so yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Are there any other benefits that you know of, Sol?
Detoxifying removes any unnecessary waste because, you know, throughout the rest of the 11 months you've been eating or
garbage.
Drinking. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Fast food,
loads of.
All that.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So in the whole month, if you avoid fast food, that'll remove all the rubbish you've had. So hopefully it'll better yourself. Next one is the immune system. Now, that's really good because, I mean, if you're fasting during the winter period, it would give you that extra boost. So it would help you out.
We all need that extra boost nowadays, especially with all this COVID and stuff going around. So, yeah, that's actually very good to know that it actually fasting actually boosts your immune system.
Next one I found was blood pressure. So that's a biggie for us South Asian, especially when we chow down with a lot of things.
Yeah.
It helps with our BP.
Oh, okay.
Blood sugar, which is another one, you know.
Diabetes,
this is really
yeah.
important to myself because being diabetic, it helps you out. Improve cardiovascular function.
I didn't know that. That's good. Yeah, so heart health, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes
yeah.
sense, yeah.
So that helps us out. Healthier brain and cognitive function.
Okay.
And this one I found astonishing. Anti-aging.
You know what? I actually read that as well. So all those people looking to be young or, you know, looking for the fountain.
Fountain
me.
Of youth.
Yeah, looking for the fountain of youth. We found it. Well, Sol found it.
I haven't found it. It was already told
was already
to us.
Discovered, yeah. It's been prescribed.
1400 centuries ago. Talking about fountain of youth. When you're younger, you tend to have a lot of desires and urges. So fasting tends to help you out in that aspect.
Yeah. It's actually prescribed for unmarried men to curb their desires and urges, actually. Because it's all about self-control, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
True.
Like I say, especially in the West, and, you know, we're blessed. We've got food and everything. Like, there's nothing stopping you from eating food or drinking that water. When no one's looking, you could do that.
True. But like they say, God's always watching.
Yeah, God's always watching. So yeah, but it's that self-control. So it's like that. You know, some people don't fast because they're smoking. Like, I know a few people that, you know, they struggle with fasting and more than food from smoking. So it's like you've got to curb your vices. You've got to control them as well. So it's a lot to do with the self-control.
It's not just about urges and desires. It's about controlling your tongue as well. So at certain times you want to say something to a certain person, but then you'll think, right, I might end up hurting that person's feeling, or, you know, you become more of a self-aware person. So as you can see,
yeah,
it's it's more conscious. Teaching you, yeah, it's teaching you morals as well.
Yeah.
And it's not just about fasting, but you know, all these morals aspects comes into place.
It's a combination of a lot of different things coming together, isn't it? When you think about it. It's not just one thing. It's not just not eating all day. There's so many facets to it. It does make you a better person, I feel, because you're conscious of what you're doing. You're not an autopilot. So you, like you said, you control your tongue more. You refrain from certain things more. You're thinking. You're using your head for a change rather than just having brain fog and just doing everything that you desire.
Dims, you mentioned smoking before, but that's a choice. What about people that are long-term sick? I know they can't fast.
Well, Sol, they're exempt, as well as children who have not reached the age of puberty and the elderly.
Pregnant women?
Mothers, new mothers, pregnant women, they're exempt.
Breastfeeding mothers?
Yeah. Since we're talking women here, mothers, not women. Right. What was it? What did you say?
So women who are menstruating as well, they can't fast.
Yeah, that's right.
Ideally, it's better that they make the fast up throughout the rest of the year because obviously it's short term and they can't avoid it.
It's encouraged. It's more reward to make up the fast if you can. So if you're on a short-term illness or reason where you're actually exempt from fasting during the month of Ramadan, it's encouraged, if you're able to do so, once you've recovered, to make the fast that you've missed. Because these fasts are fard, meaning...
compulsory.
Compulsory, that's right. But, however, if you still can't make them up, there's this thing you give. What's that called again, Sol?
Fidya.
That's right.
So fidya is a mandatory donation that you must give to someone. So in other words, you just feed someone who's poor. You feed a person in the morning and the evening an amount of money that you pay someone if you haven't fast, in other words. Obviously, I think that's different to, what's the other one? Someone who's intentionally or purposely.
Kafara.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, so kafara is a donation that you must make if you deliberately miss or break a fast during the month of Ramadan without a valid reason. Kafara is not a mandatory contribution, as you can choose to fast continuously for 60 days. Although if you intentionally miss or break another fast, you must begin the 60 days again. Probably speak to an imam or a scholar for more details on that. Yeah, both fidya and kafara can only be given to the poor and needy, as you mentioned before, Sol. And again, speak to your local imam for more details on that.
So kafara is for people intentionally breaking or missing their fast. But what about people that don't fast throughout the blessed month? There are a few.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there are a few, Sol, but like I said, they're missing out on all the great health benefits that we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. There's many rewards in Ramadan which they'll miss as well, such as Laylatul Qadr.
Yeah, what's that for the people that don't know, Sol?
Right, okay, so Laylatul Qadr is... I'm not a Sufi Sahab, bro.
Go ahead.
So go back to it. So Laylatul Qadr is the night of power. It falls either on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th.
So basically the last 10 odd nights
of
Ramadan, yeah?
Okay. That's it. So the Quran was sent on one of those nights, which we don't know.
In its completion, wasn't it? It was completed.
Yeah, it was completed,
right,
yes.
Okay. Basically, right. This is known as the night of power, right? Yeah. So if you catch this night and you worship in this night, it's worth, what was it, 70 months?
I can't remember. I'm going to call it. I need to go back and research it.
Right. Okay, you do that, Sol, then.
So, Dims, I've just Googled it, and it's 83 years.
All right, so I was only slightly off there. Lol. Thanks for that, Sufi Saab. So 83 years, well, gosh, that's a lot, isn't it? That's like a lifetime, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can catch a lifetime worth of worship if you pray during one of these nights, which, again, we said is one of the odd nights in the last 10 days of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, if you haven't fasted before or you've not prayed, I urge you to do it this Ramadan, because 83 years, I mean, how are you going to let that go? One night's worth, 83 years worth of worship. You don't want to miss that. So, have you heard of the term Ramadan Muslim?
Sort of. Is it like someone that just does fast and ibadah just for that month and then back to normality, quotes, the rest of the 11 months?
That's right.
Is that what you're referring to? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's actually, unfortunately, used as a slur nowadays. The way I see it, I mean, I don't know about you. Have you always fasted, you know, and always prayed, like since you were a little kid, or what's the score with you?
Fasted since puberty, should we say, you know, alhamdulillah, what I can recall. There's many years have passed now in this, I can't remember every single detail.
Right, no, okay, Allah, what about bless. Praying? Do you pray, have you prayed outside Ramadan as a youngster as well?
Yeah, I have.
Alhamdulillah, that's good. I hadn't. So I unfortunately probably would have been deemed one of those Ramadan Muslims where I would not really fast. I mean, last few years, alhamdulillah, I'm on it, you know, nonstop, but I wouldn't really fast. I would just fast during Ramadan. And this is a true story, right? So I don't know what would happen. When Ramadan rolled round, I would get this feeling inside of excitement. Like it was, oh, this month is coming. It's a special month. So I went into an Islamic shop once, and I'll never forget this. So what I do, like I said, I got excited. So I buy gifts for like the family. I'll buy like dust beads, which rosary beads, but you know, you get them clicky ones.
Digital ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So grab them, a few prayer mats, and just you know, gifts, just to encourage friends and family to this holy month's coming, just like we mentioned earlier, because I was aware about the night of power and, you know, how blessed it is, and just the month itself, how blessed it is. So I was like, yeah, need to get Mark right. So I walk into the shop, right? The geezer's got big beard, bigger than your soul, unfortunately, right? Sorry to say that, but yeah, for you, right? Massive beard, right? And he just looked at me and goes,
oh, you want a soul?
So like, oh, you know, Ramzan's coming and, you know, it's like 70 times more reward and blah, 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 and like really excited. And he's like,
oh, so you're just going to fast in Ramadan, so you're a Ramadan Muslim.
Right? And he's like,
oh, you know, there's no point in doing that.
He goes,
I'm...
Don't even know, he come up with some fancy words, right?
I've studied in Syria. I've studied in Egypt by Sheikh...
This, Sheikh that, like, he was naming some names that just sounded like big names, right? So like, he's like, you know,
I've got more knowledge than you.
Like literally saying to me, I've got more knowledge than you. And at that point, I was unlearned, I'd say. So after this talk, I came out the shop. I almost didn't even buy the stuff, to be honest. Like, he'd put me down so much. I felt so like, not belittled, but like, oh, he's right. Like, I was going to take his word and miss out on this reward. Like, looking back now, that's idiotic. But at the time, I felt like, well, this guy certainly has knowledge. You know, he knows. He's got ilm. Ilm meaning knowledge. So he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm a fraud. You know, what am I doing? I shouldn't be fasting in Ramadan. I shouldn't be praying in Ramadan. Like, it put me off. So since then, I have hated that term, Ramadan Muslim, because I think it's very judgy. And I don't know who people are to judge others. Only God can judge. So if you've not prayed all year, you've not prayed all year. If you don't fast, you don't fast. When this month comes, don't miss out. You don't know if you're going to be around next year when Ramadan comes.
True, say.
Like the Sahabas, they used to pray that God give me life up until Ramadan, and that's it. They never said, oh, God give us life beyond Ramadan. And it's like, because if you go in this month, like they say, the gates of heaven are open. Mm-hmm. So point being is, and this is also to the brothers, the Akhis, you know, the Akhis, so, yeah, the guys with knowledge, you get a bit of a, you tend to look down on people that don't pray or don't do it by that. And I don't think you should do that. And I understand it because I've seen both sides of it. Because you've always prayed, haven't you, Saul? So you've like, it's been like a level thing with you. Like, yep, just do this. Yeah?
I would say so, yeah. So yeah, it's just so, been stagnatic. I would say I wouldn't have been.
Yeah. So with me, it's been up and down. So like from now, praying like Jumma and then here and there. Fast, obviously, like I said, so-called, doing quotation marks here, Ramadan Muslim. But praying, no. But when I started praying and I started getting onto the haq, right? Get on the right path and whatnot. You do get this sense of like, not arrogance, but it's, I don't know what the word is, but you feel like, right, I'm praying. Like, why is this guy not praying? Astaghfirullah. Then I had to stop myself and be like, I was once him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was not praying. So I remember that moment in that shop. And that was about a good 10 years ago, if not more, right? It's quite a long time ago, but it still impacts me. I still remember that day because I was that close to like letting this brother put me off and just throwing away. Like, yeah, I'm a fraud. Why am I even not doing it for 11 months? Why should I even bother for this 1 month? Please do it for the 1 month. And Allah will guide you because He always does.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Inshallah, I urge anyone, if you're going to be a Ramadan, do you know what? Wear it with the pride. Yeah. And what? Like, yeah, yeah. I'll do it this month. And what? Like, who is anyone to judge you apart from God?
To be honest, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
If some people, like you said, you know, if they've just started Ramadan, let them be, because who knows? That might be the path to strive to the righteous path. So you shouldn't judge anyone. Like I said, you shouldn't judge anyone.
No.
And it could be from there to either from right to wrong. It could be their political point, like you said. But yeah, I know where you're coming from, like saying that.
They,
you know,
in the eyes of Allah, they may be higher than you just because you think you're doing. And that's the thing with it, there's levels to it, right? So now, so someone like you, Saul, right? I would look in awe before when I was praying, for, because I couldn't do it. So I would look at you and I'd be like, wow,
yeah, but I'm not anything special. Let's
I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying that you even think you are. I'm saying from my perspective, when I wasn't praying and I was...
You shouldn't think like that. I mean, I know what you're trying to say. You shouldn't
be Ramadan Muslim. No, it is. It's not. It's all of like, it's like, wow, this guy can do something I can't do. But I wasn't really pulling my weight or wasn't educated, let's say, fully on the matter. But I would like, oh, wow, he can get up and he can pray for Fajr. Wow, I can never do that. He prays 5 times. Well, I can never do that. And this was sort of my thing, because I was looking at them like, oh, wow. So when I fast forward years later, when I am practicing and I am praying 5 times a day, on, you know, more or less on time as much as I can, on the mosque whenever I can. Now, I'm not looking at those people, but I know some people may look at me like, oh, wow, he's praying. But I'm looking at someone now who gets up at the Hajj. So he's a level above me and he's like, yo bro, I get for 200 like once a week. But then he's got someone above him, he's like, yo bro, I get for 200 every night. And the other guy's looking at him saying, is that it? What's that other namaz after Fajr?
You mean Salat Ishraq?
That's the one.
Okay.
Some people rarely pray that. That's not compulsory one, but that's just a very beneficial one. So then there's a brother that's praying that daily. So then he's like, yo, I'm doing that, I'm doing Tahajjud, I'm doing Ishraq every day. But then there's a brother a step higher than him. He's like, is that all you do? What about the Quran? I pray like half a juz every day after Ishraq. You know, it doesn't end. So there's always going to be someone better than you or doing something more or different. You shouldn't look down on people. You should encourage people, you know, whether they fast and pray the whole year or not. That's not for you to judge. And I get it. I get it. You want people to do well and you want to help them. Because like I say, when I started praying first, when I got into it five times, I was looking at brothers like, yo, how come this guy's not praying, man? He should be, you know, he needs to, it's good for him or good for her or whatever. But then I had to stop myself and thought, hold on, you know, not so long ago you was this guy. Because like, that's what I'm saying, Saul, you've not had that issue where you never prayed, like you've, alhamdulillah, through childhood have constantly been, there are people like you like that, but there's also people like me.
Yeah, because I've always thought of it as I'll be the one to answer my my good deeds and bad deeds, should we say. Mm-hmm. Because in your cupboard, which is your grave, you'll answer yours and they'll answer theirs. So that's why you always look at yourself first. It's like, how can I improve myself than others? So that's why you don't think about others. If they do a good deed, good on for them. But you got to look after yourself. So I know it's a bit of a selfish way of thinking.
Yeah.
But you have to better yourself, should we say. So if you better yourself, you can then better others. That's how I look at it.
So I think you should always encourage others.
Yeah. That's what dawah is. You always call others to Islam. But that's what dawah means.
But not be so judgy. You know, so like this, like I said, that brother in the shop who had knowledge, as he claimed, self-proclaimed, but yet his dealing was so harsh and so...
Let's not judge him then.
No, I'm not judging him. I'm not judging him.
I'm just saying that maybe he had an intention.
Yeah, but once his approach... Well, it's not just his approach. It was also the context of what he said. Basically, he was saying that...
What's the point in praying for 1 month if you don't pray for the 11 months?
And that proper demotivated me. The only reason I bring this up is to make 2 points. So from this encounter, point A, be careful of what you say to people, as you don't know how your words may impact and facilitate in making or breaking their faith. Do you know what I'm saying, Saul?
Yeah.
Yeah. And point B would be, don't let anyone deter you from the straight path. You know, no matter how above you may think they are, like there's different levels to this. You might think, oh, they're more righteous, they're more higher, they're more knowledgeable. But you're doing this for yourself, for your relationship with your Lord. So don't let anyone deter you. Basically, the way I see it, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, everything counts. No matter, that's for good and bad. Yeah. So no matter how small your action may be or how big, it all counts. Again, follow the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, peace be upon him. You look at him and his teaching, his ways, you follow that. That's the way to do the dawah. Not just don't judge other people, whether they're Ramadan Muslims or not. It's not for you to say. In fact, encourage them, which is what I'm trying to do. You know, people around me, just say, look, don't miss this opportunity. And do it, especially if you're a Muslim, because if you're a born Muslim, then, you know, you kind of, like we said earlier, it's obligatory. We actually had a friend, Saul, don't you remember? Do you remember our good friend?
Sorry, I can't recall right now. Which friend are we talking about?
Big up me, Julie.
Oh, Julie. Shout out to our friend Julie, yes.
Julie, yeah. Do you want to tell the story? Well.
Nah, I'll leave you to it, you know, because you're on a roll here and I'm enjoying listening to your conversation, to be honest with you.
Just needed a break for talking, but okay, yeah.
All right, okay, yeah. I mean, if you want a break, I'm happy to take on board and take on the conversation.
Right.
It's been a while since we've seen her. She's in the good old US of A.
Yeah, she's in America now, but she was...
In the UK before. With us.
Yeah. Julie, by the way, I'm just going to interject here. She's a Christian. I'm proud. She's not a Muslim. She's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's just get that out there first. So, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Good point. Yeah, no, that's fine. It was during the month of Ramadan. She said that she wanted to fast with us and she wanted to fast on every Fridays, which she did.
In solidarity with us, like... She had a lot of close Muslim friends, me, Saul, and do you remember Sarah? I think it was Sarah was one of her good friends as well. So,
yes,
she wanted to experience fasting, basically.
And it wasn't just one day; I think it was like four or three Fridays, which I recall throughout the month she fasted, and she even opened the fasted same time as us. Even with dates, I can recall one day she did open fast with just water and dates.
Yeah, bless her. Point being, she didn't have to do it. Like it's not fard, so it's not compulsory on her to do it. She's not Muslim, but she wanted to do it and she did it. Like with her, they were pretty long. I can't remember the time they were opening, but can you remember? I can't really remember.
It was later on. I remember it was like after 8. It'll be between 8 and 9. I remember that.
Because I think the first one she did, like, because she's found it hard. So I think Sarah said, all right, you can drink water. Obviously, you know, Sarah was like a bit more, you know, timid and was going easy on her. I was like, nah, Julie. I didn't say anything.
The proper way is like,
you know what I mean? Like, no water as well. And then she's like, yeah. And then she's like, all right, cool. Yeah. And then she actually did it. She, you know, she complained, like we all do, like how hard it was. And because initially, you know, your body needs to adjust to it. But again, I told her some benefits, you know, health benefits at the time. But she did it. Like it's all said, every Friday she did, didn't she?
Yeah, every Friday, I recall, you know, I think it was like 3 or 4 that year, if I can recall. But it was a while back and it's been 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah. But like I say, she did it. So this is a non-Muslim who is hard. She's Christian, you know, she's down with her faith and that. And she still fasted. She managed to do it properly from dusk to dawn. I think she said she's awake up for Sahur as well, which is, how would you describe Sahur?
Sahur, it's the beginning. It's
Sari.
Sahur or Sahur is the same thing.
Same
anyway.
Thing, yeah. But...
Yeah.
To a non-Muslim,
close your fast,
which is before sunrise, isn't it? Yeah,
before sunrise. So it'll vary anyway. It depends on the time of Fajr. That's the thing, isn't it?
I don't know what Jules was eating, but like personally, I keep it like cereal or egg and toast. What about yourself? So what do you normally do for Suhoor?
It'll be light now because you don't want a heavy breakfast. Mm. So I'll just be like tea and toast, dates and water. That'll be something like that.
Yeah, so that's Sahur or Sari done. And then obviously throughout the day you just pray and stay away from bad deeds and whatnot. And then, you know, when the time comes, iftari, which is when you break your fast, which is usually at sunset. In that mad though, when it's about to open, you think you can eat so much. You think you can eat a horse, you can eat like a buffet. But when you actually start eating, there's not much you can eat. Do you get that, Sol?
Yeah, because your eyes are larger than your stomach. That's
the saying. I've heard that one before, yeah. Yeah. But saying that, though, as we said at the beginning of the show, Ramadan's not all about food. It's actually about making yourself into a better person, striving to be better.
Yeah. So it's all about pushing the bar further. So remember when you were talking about the Ramadan Muslim?
Oh, yeah.
To what you were, to what you are now. As you can see, you have pushed the bar. So if you keep pushing it further, you keep striving to be a better person. Not just physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. Because the main aspect of Ramadan is being spiritual. You're trying to be a well-rounded person. And this, in turn, benefits everyone socially as well. So that's what I was talking about. Spiritually, it's about being content. If you're content yourself, you're not going to lash out to others. You're not going to be problematic. You're not going to be issuing others around you. You're going to be, you know, aram or calm, relax, sabr or whatever you want to say. You're going to be grounded, well-grounded person. And during Ramadan, it's your time to shine. So you always be the person that you want to be. You're right, okay. Those 11 months, I haven't strived to do it. Let me be the best I can be in that 1 month. And then maybe in that 1 month, you will strive to be the best person throughout the next 11 months.
That's it. So a lot of, again, I hate that term, but Ramadan Muslims will fast and then go back to their old ways as soon as it's done, which is not encouraged and it's not the way to do it. But, you know, you don't know. You may, like Saul said, something may spark inside you and you may change, you may not go back to your ways. Like, don't think, oh, when Ramadan's over, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Just do Ramadan. It's a moment
focus
to...
on one thing.
Yeah, it's a moment to, like Saul was saying earlier, to cleanse your mind, your body, and your soul. to better yourself, so you may not get to see after Ramadan. Life's short. You don't know. We don't know, do we? Don't make plans. Do Ramadan. Don't put it off to like, oh, next year I'll do it, because you may not be around next year, especially with this COVID pandemic and all this stuff that's been going on. It's here. It's upon our doors now. It's literally days away. God gives you life. You're lucky and blessed enough to see it. And you're a Muslim and it's mandatory on you to do so. Please, for your own sake, do it.
Grasp it with both hands and don't let it go.
That's right, Saul. And it's not that hard, guys. I mean, if Julie can do it, and I can do it, and Saul can do it, anyone can do it.
Drizzy.
It's not really that hard. But if you're on the cusp and you're thinking, oh, how shall I? Is there any like steps, Saul? Any advice? Shakes up.
Once again, I'm not a Sheikh or a Molvi.
No, I'm only joking. Not a Sheikh. But is there any steps, though? Because we've done it. Any steps you think we can give someone who maybe hasn't yet, or even has, but just looking for some hints and tips? Come on, Sol. I know you've got some little secrets there.
I haven't got secrets. I mean, the only thing I can think of on top of my head right now is start off something small. So, for example, let's just say, you know, you tend to swear a lot. Let's just say swearing is a bad habit.
What are you looking at me for, Sol?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just giving an example. Like, all let's right. just say someone who swears a lot, right? Okay. Right. What most people do, or some people do, they have like a jar. And every time you swear, you put a penny or a whatever. Let's just say a penny. Put a penny in that jar. Now, that jar, when you create it, give that to your local mosque or something like that. That's the simplest term. That's like the lower term, like, you know, something simple.
Yeah.
Then push it further. So each day, keep pushing it. So that's one thing. Okay, I haven't swore. Then try to do a good deed the next day. So for example, if an elderly person is crossing the road, help them out. And then eventually, when you got the courage, people are not Muslim or people who are not practicing, yeah. Try to fast a day like Julie did. Keep one day. Don't try to fast. If you can't do the whole day, do half a fast. That's how
the kids do.
Remember when we were young, you do a half a day, half a fast.
I've done half a fast.
Then they say,
no, you haven't. Stick out your tongue if it's right.
Yeah, then you're fasting. You know, tricks and tricks. But that's what it is. So something small. And then each day, keep increasing it bit by bit. That's what I would say throughout the rest of the 30 days. Now, if you can't do it for the rest of the 30 days, then again, something small, something kind. Mention to your parents that you appreciate their value. You know, each day that you've done, you know, you've done a lot for them. You know, something kind words to maybe your neighbors. You know, anything good, anything that is proactive, beneficial for society.
Well said. Yeah, so just on the back of that, so any struggles? So there's only a couple of days left now. So like I say, I've got friends that smoke and they struggle. So if you're a smoker, try cutting down now. Try getting into the habit of praying, whatever you can, you know, more than before. You don't have to wait for the clock to strike Ramadan and start doing it. You can start prepping yourself, like Saul was saying, a few days before, maybe even do a voluntary fast if you can.
There's an importance of all this fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. That's what they say.
So it's extra reward for those days. So yeah, if you're thinking of doing a voluntary one, it's best to do it on a Monday or a Thursday. It's more reward for that. Actual steps. Do you know what? All I can say is God guides. Like a lot will guide those. So just put your faith in him. Make the intention.
Intention, do what? Yeah.
Keep intention. Yeah. Intention is so big in our religion. It's massive. Like, just intend to fast all 30 days, even if you skeptical that you're going to do them or not, just intend to do it in your heart. Make it a sincere one, though. Don't just BS, because you can't BS God. Do you know what I mean? You're just BSing yourself there. So make a true intention. Charity. Try and give a bit more in charity than you normally would. Like Saul said, you know, the helping thy neighbor and, you know, people around you, again, the community and stuff, that's brilliant. And that's it, I think. Is there anything else you can think of, Sol?
Yeah, like I was saying, and you said, take it each day as it comes. Just not just in Ramadan, but throughout the rest of the year as well. But let Ramadan be the starting point of your life. You know,
Changing your turning point.
You're turning a leaf, like they say. So if you intend to do it, start from now. I'm intending to be a good person, not just for myself, for society, but most of all, like you said, intention for Allah's sake.
And that's it. And it'll come when it's your time. Like, I never intended to not pray after Ramadan. Like, I used to love the feeling of praying and whatnot. And then it finished and I just fought back. It was just, what's for saying it, devil and distractions and all sorts. And it just, right. You know, a week's gone and I'm still praying and 2 weeks and I'm back to not praying at all. And then another Ramadan comes again, Ramadan Muslim, brilliant. And then after like, three or four of that, and then eventually it's like, now Ramadan's gone. Now it's like, boom, I'm praying. Ramadan's 6 months in my rear view and I'm still praying. And it was like, oh, okay, this is easy. Like, this is just something I do. It's not what I do in Ramadan. I just do this naturally anyway. Ramadan's just a blessing. So your time will come when it comes, but I'm talking to you. That's listening right now. Yeah, you have to take that step. Yeah, you, Sol. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you, but no, talking to listeners here. You got to take that step. You have to make that intention because it's all down to you. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing all this talk, but you're going to benefit from it. You're going in your grave. I'm going in mine. Sol's going in his. We can, as fellow brothers, as fellow people, we can only give you our 2 cents and hope it helps you in some way. So, you know how that saying goes? How's it going now? I can only show you the door, but you have to walk through it. It's basically that type of deal. So it's upon you.
On the back of that, what Dim said, there's a saying, do your best and leave the rest to Allah.
Do your best and leave the rest to Allah. There you go. I don't think you can say it any better than that. On that note, I think it's time to wrap the show. We need to get our Ramadan prep done, Sol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you done all your shopping? Your bits and bobs?
No, I still got a few things to do.
Right.
Usually, you know, leave it the last moment, just like most people.
Yeah, lastminute.com. Right, so we're going to head out now. We do hope you enjoyed this episode, because we did. So. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you did as well. We learned a bit from each other. I certainly learned lots from Sheikh Sol over here.
Stop it, Dibs.
Now he's messing, he ain't Sheikh, but he's a good brother. So on that note, we wish you Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, yes.
And we hope to see you next week for another great episode. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.